time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking. Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Tuesday, June 16th edition of Overtime. Just wrapped up a conversation centered up on the College World Series down the road in Omaha with my old friend David Kahn of Learfield and Dugouts, Dumbbells, and Dingers, the podcast there. Deep dives all the time on Dugouts, Dumbbells, and Dingers. Wherever you get your podcasts and you want some college baseball content, that's the place to go. You can listen back to hour number one right now, ESPNSiouxFalls.com, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. Still to come today on the show, headlines and highlights right now. Around the corner, NFL news of the day centered up on Brendan Sorsby, who is taking all the drama from the college game on up to the National Football League. Really good news for college football. They don't have to worry about it anymore. Sorsby likely to be paid at least a good amount of what he was promised by Texas Tech to not be on the team this year. They part ways, and Sorsby now petitioning, appealing, applying for the NFL supplemental draft. Been a while since we had a supplemental draft in the National Football League, but big names of the past, present, and future have been selected via supplemental draft. We'll dive into a couple of those names. Most recently, the name Josh Gordon comes to mind, the name Terrell Pryor comes to mind. We'll dive in to the supplemental draft deep coming up around the corner. Also, whip around coverage in the good, the bad, and the ugly before we're done on a Tuesday. Major League Baseball yesterday. Kansas City lost in D.C. to the Nationals 7-3. St. Louis got a pitching gem and took down San Diego 3-0 at home. Cardinals are 39-31. Cubbies hang on to a 5-4 victory against the Rockies. They move to 38-35. And the Minnesota Twins doing a nice job at this stage, starting to stack a couple more wins. Josh Bell, big bat in the first, part of yesterday's difference in a win against the Rangers.
The 1-1 pitch, a swing and a fly ball to left, deep. This one carrying to the track, to the wall, and that ball is gone, a home run. Josh Bell with a two-out, three-run homer right down the left field line, and the Twins here in the first inning have an early 3-0 lead.
That's Corey Provis on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Byron Buxton getting into the long ball party in the sixth.
Fly ball hit well to left field, and this ball is a no-doubter. Way out of here and gone. Twins up 4-2. Byron, 23rd of the year.
23 homers this year for Byron Buxton. Here's manager Derek Shelton on his advocacy for Buxton to be a All-Star Game starter moving forward.
I mean, player of the week, AL player of the week. I mean, I'll continue to say this. If he's not one of the top three outfielders for the All-Star game, I'll be shocked at who the other three guys are. I mean, he's just been such a big boost for us.
He has been. And lately, you know, a couple years ago, the narrative was, well, you know, Byron Buxton can't stay healthy. It's a matter of time before he gets dinged and dented and hurt and on the shelf and on the injured list. Last year put together a really nice season. This year is cooking with gas. Buxton just one home run off the league lead for long balls right now. That belongs to Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Schwarber with 24. Buxton standing alone in second place with 23 homers so far this year for a team. With the win yesterday, Minnesota moved to 34-40. One other notable final, Detroit won, tripling up the score of Houston 9-3. The final yesterday, Tigers win on the road. Their new record is 30-42. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Royals and Nationals get us going from D.C. at 5:45. We'll see the White Sox visit the Yankees. Brewers host the Guardians. Cardinals home to the Padres. Rockies at Cubs. Tigers at Astros. Twins do it again in Arlington against the Rangers. That is 6:30 pregame ahead of a 7:05 start time tonight. In the WNBA last night, Las Vegas lost to Dallas 96-66. The Aces fall to 10-4, and Minnesota beats the brakes off of Portland 107-74. The Lynx move to 11-3. Tonight in the WNBA standalone game, Tempo visiting the Fever in Indianapolis. 6 o'clock coverage on USA TV. Over to the NBA. A lot of debate about next year after we just concluded last year in the NBA. Knicks on top. Can they stay that way? Jay Williams, pretty darn matter of fact about his answer.
No, I would not. I think it's been an incredible run. I think in order for teams to win championships now, the stars need to be aligned the correct way. And you look at some of the opponents that the Knicks had to face in order to win a championship. This does not diminish their championship at all. They won the Larry O'Brien trophy. But I'm not sure the chips fall that way, in particular next year. I don't know what moving parts is happening in this arms race. I don't know what happens to Giannis. I don't know what happens to Jaylen Brown. I don't know what happens in free agency throughout the draft. I think teams can revamp very quickly in this new updated arms race.
And again, to be clear, Jay Williams is a fan of staying power, fan of dynasties. He says here they're really darn good for the NBA.
I love dynasties. I love teams that love to be hated. I love teams that have success over a period of time. I love when I see GMs or scouts come up to me and be like, how do you think we build our roster to beat this particular team? It's something about, look, I never got part playing the NBA dynasty, but obviously playing at Duke, like you learn to love to be hated. Right? And there's something about that. So as much as I appreciate parity, I want to see rivalries and I want to see dynasty.
There you go. You want to see dynasties. Are the Knicks a front runner for a dynastic run? No, they're not. They're still an underdog team. They just won a title. This feels like a lot of other squads out there. The Celtics recently, they finally got over the hump. What kind of staying power did they have? Not for long. Now, other teams we've seen recently, Milwaukee with Giannis, the Nuggets with Jokic. You thought that that was the beginning of something. You thought that OKC was head and shoulders better than everybody. And here we are. OKC didn't even reach the NBA Finals in their quest again for another title. Vince Goodwill talking about the individual players. Can Jalen Brunson, against all odds, be the future face of the NBA? We've awarded that in recent history, post LeBron James, which we're not yet post LBJ, but we're getting there. LeBron, soon to be retired at some point. So we're talking about Anthony Edwards. We're talking about Nikola Jokic, Victor Wembanyama. What about Jalen Brunson? Vince Goodwill, is he equipped to be the face of the NBA?
I think you have to have a magnetic personality to be face of the league. Great story, extremely great athlete, and you have to like want it and go above and beyond with the media. Jalen Brunson is none of that. Very stoic. He's Derek Jeter-like. He doesn't like go out of his way to be charismatic. That's why we love Anthony Edwards, because he's charismatic without trying to be. That's why we don't love Jason Tatum as the face of the league, because there's nothing charismatic about him. So you have to do more than just win. You have to have this sort of outward external quality that people gravitate to. And you have to want to do the stuff that nobody else wants to do, the stuff that LeBron did for 20 years and that Steph has been doing for 15. And I don't think that's Jalen Brunson. I think he wants to hoop.
There you go. More from Goodwill here on the offseason sweepstakes, if you will. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Where does he go? He's got two teams here that he believes are firmly in the driver's seat for Giannis's services moving forward.
Depending on who you talk to, Boston or Miami is in the driver's seat of this conversation. A couple of executives I talked to yesterday said they think Miami thinks Boston's in the leader of the conversation.
Right.
So it's kind of an odd thing where I think both teams are trying to play and how much do we put on the table here. And where does Giannis ideally want to go? Miami has the 13th pick in the draft. That can be a huge sort of carrot to throw out there just because this is the last year of the lottery odds being set as such. Mm-hmm. But I do believe in general it's going to come down between these last two teams. It plays into our last point. One championship is not enough. If Jaylen Brown is gone, he won a finals MVP. He was an MVP guy this year, and they could very well send him on his way because one championship ain't enough in Boston.
And that is Vince Goodwill on the sweepstakes for Giannis. There's an article up, Sports Illustrated right now, quoting odds from DraftKings Sportsbook. Miami is in that driver's seat marginally, minus 110 to minus 135, the betting odds for the Heat to be the team that lands Giannis. They say in the article it's the top landing spot, the aforementioned number 13 overall pick, draft compensation, also tradable assets like Tyler Hero and Khalil Ware. For Boston, plus 130 all the way out to plus 750. Again, strong Eastern Conference contender with a solid offer reportedly on the table. We do not know the nuts and bolts out there. If it's Jaylen Brown, if it's Derek White, if it's Jason Tatum. We don't know exactly what the offer is, but that's the two teams that are in a tango right now for the services. Milwaukee third on the odds. Staying put doesn't feel great, doesn't feel nice. A lot of people have started to turn the page already, if not on to the next book. Moving on from Giannis in Milwaukee, other teams in the conversation, the Nets, the Spurs, Cavs, Thunder, T-Wolves mentioned in that article, as are the Blazers and the Orlando Magic. That's all for the NBA for now. The NBA draft coming up next week, June 23rd through the 24th. The NHL draft, a little bit beyond that, 26th through the 27th. And your NASCAR race coming up this weekend, San Diego. The race site on Sunday, 3 o'clock, Prime Video and HBO. Into the NFL now. The drama has been elevated from the NCAA. Their issues, the ruling in a local district court that allowed Brendan Sorsby to be eligible, the appeal, that is all wiped clean, at least for now, because Sorsby reportedly appealing to, applying for the NFL supplemental draft, which will be held before training camp. We'll get you an exact date around the corner. Here's Pete Thamel of ESPN. How the heck we got here, Sorsby, to the National Football League just a couple of weeks away.
I feel like from talking to scouts and personnel people going into the last draft that he would have had a chance in this very weak quarterback draft of 2026 to be a first-round pick. Remember, there were obviously only two first-round picks at quarterback in that draft. Sorsby would have made a very strong case to be number three. He elected to go back to college. He elected to take the deal that was expected to be worth more than $5 million at Texas Tech. There's a lot of talent in Brendan Sorsby. There were some consistency issues. He played poorly against Nebraska and Utah in those high-profile games. But the talent is certainly tantalizing there, and it will be fascinating to see how NFL evaluators view him. Remember, draft capital in 2027 is vastly different. It's expected to be one of the most loaded draft classes, quarterback and otherwise, in the last generation. So where will the NFL deem Sorsby in this draft? It'll be a huge question looming over the next couple weeks. He's a talented, dynamic player.
There you go. Talented, dynamic player. Does he have baggage? Yeah, he's checking bags, and he's checking bags inside of his checked bags as well, making his way to the NFL. And again, you got to trust, you got to hope, you got to believe Sorsby has put the gambling issues and the addiction behind him, got the help he needs. And I'm not meaning to make light of that, but that is a concern for the National Football League. They, like the NCAA, like college football, like the NBA, like any sporting league at any level, would like competitive integrity not to be in question. You don't want people betting on sports. You don't want people betting on other sports, much less their own sport, in facilities. That's been made incredibly clear by Roger Goodell in the National Football League. Isaiah Rodgers wrapped up in the scandal a couple years ago. Jameson Williams wrapped up in that scandal a couple years ago. Other names out there in the National Football League. And now you get a guy who is just a few months removed from getting caught having placed thousands of bets, some of which on teams he was on in the college game. And now overnight, you go from, oh, that's the NCAA's problem. We'll see how it shakes out. We'll see if he's eligible, see if he gets back on the field after a suspension. And then we'll cross that bridge when we come to it next year around the draft when he's eligible. We'll see if anybody drafts him then and what he had underway this past year. But now it immediately pops up on your radar if you're Roger Goodell. And I'm curious about the messaging. I'm curious about the valuation and how it is kind of bundled up together, for lack of a better term. Because obviously Brendan Sorsby is worth a second round pick right now. You get this quarterback today. Today, if you were to hold the supplemental draft today, you get him immediately before the season starts, a year in advance, another quarterback that probably would have landed after Ty Simpson, but not after anybody else in this year's NFL draft, were he participating in that at the time. But you get him immediately, another whole year, which opens up a whole other can of worms. This is not just about QB needy teams. This is about teams that are wanting to plan for the future at quarterback as well. What's the most you would give up to have a quarterback of the future on your roster today? It's going to cost you a pick in next year's draft. That alone, that time is really darn valuable. To get a quarterback a full year of experience before you even have to spend the pick in the NFL, that's going to be pretty valuable. Question is, baggage. How do you value Brendan Sorsby? Here's Chris Canty on why he thinks NFL teams might be shying away and might not offer what everybody's saying they will for Brendan Sorsby.
I mean, listen, I understand taking risks when it comes to players that have off-field bags. But to me, this is a step you don't cross. This is literally and figuratively touching the money. A player that was willing to gamble on his respective sport is an individual that could potentially jeopardize the integrity of the game, jeopardize the integrity of my franchise, and jeopardize my relationship with my fan base. And if you're an NFL owner, this is a call that you're going to have to make. This is not necessarily a football decision. This is a business decision. And I think Brandon Sorsby threatens the business of the NFL in a way that very few players have entering the league.
And that's a good point. He does threaten the business. There's a lot of question marks. The NFL does not play with character concerns. They don't play with maturity concerns, off-field incidents, suspensions, finable offenses, and much less gambling. Gambling is something the NFL has proven to be absurdly strict on, and that has been a massive win for the NFL. Of all the sports leagues out there that have had brush-ups and brush-ins with gambling concerns, competitive integrity, the NFL has made themselves very clear. 8-game suspension, full year suspension, sometimes lifetime suspension, depending upon the circumstances. But that being said, this is a little bit of a different scenario. This activity occurred in college. You know, Kayshon Boutte, current wide receiver with the New England Patriots, had some similar issues pop up in his past after he was already in the NFL from his college years. In the NFL, that precedent has been set a bit for Brandon Sorsby. Now, what teams could come calling? We're going to deep dive into that in a little while, but I'm going to let you know right now. This is a discussion that is happening in a lot of front offices in the National Football League today. What's the most we give up here? You know, that team out there on the West Coast or that team down South, they're probably going to give up this. We could probably give up a 3, maybe a 4. And these are giving up picks in exchange in the 2027 NFL draft. So if you're giving up a 2, if you're bidding a second round pick for Brandon Sorsby, if you win the bid, you don't have a second round pick coming up in late April of next year. And that is a big deal. You're forfeiting that pick for a player right now, for a gamble, for a dice roll right now, for a lack of a better term, of course. You're giving it up now, but that value is palpable. To have that guy in your system for a year before you actually even, quote unquote, spend the draft pick on him, that's pretty darn big. We're going to dive in to the nuts and bolts, make some ones and twos of all the details, what happens, who can bid, what teams are most likely to win if they do bid, similar value. We'll dive into that coming up in just a little bit on today's show. Other newsworthy items on the scorecard: College World Series yesterday, Alabama was eliminated by Texas. Longhorns win 14-2. Oklahoma gets by Georgia 4-3. That is the Bulldogs' first loss of the tournament. Today at the College World Series, West Virginia meets Troy at 1 o'clock on ESPN. Georgia meets Texas 7 o'clock on ESPN later on tonight. And yesterday was the socceriest soccer day of all time in the World Cup. We had 4 matches and 4 draws. That's right, 4 draws yesterday. Spain drew with Cape Verde in a massive upset of sorts. Not a loss, but a draw. 0-0. Belgium drew with Egypt 1-1. Saudi Arabia tied with Uruguay 1-1. And then in the nightcap, it was Iran drawing with New Zealand 2-2. The final in that game. Today at the World Cup, France taking on Senegal 2 o'clock on Fox. Iraq taking on Norway 5 o'clock Fox. And Argentina and Algeria meeting on the pitch tonight 8 o'clock on Fox as well. Big news from Sioux Falls out of Augustana University this morning. After 9 years leading the Augustana volleyball program, head coach Dr. Jennifer Jacobs has resigned from her position to pursue an opportunity outside of coaching. Jacobs saying in the article available, GoAuggie.com, "I sincerely want to thank the Auggie community for embracing me the past 9 years. It's been an amazing ride, and I've been blessed to have had the opportunity to serve and contribute a positive, lasting impact along so many great people." Jacobs was 130-103 for a record as the head coach, and Auggie noting in the article, national search will begin immediately. If you're keeping score at home, Augustana has a coaching vacancy with softball, which has a lot more road in front of them until the calendar turns back around to softball season. Volleyball, though, national search beginning immediately. Little behind the eight ball here in their next coaching search for Augustana volleyball. But wish Dr. Jen Jacobs all the best, and certainly very gracious, great person, all the best in what's ahead in her career. That is a quick toe dip into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. When we come back, we're going to get you all the NFL news you can handle. What the heck is a supplemental draft? When will it be held? Who is eligible? What is Brendan Sorsby's value? What teams could come calling? And a spoiler alert, like I said moments ago, a lot of teams could come calling here. We won't really know exactly who did because the Jacksonville Jaguars could bid a sixth-round pick. The Packers could bid a five. The Colts could bid a four. The Broncos could bid a two. And if the Cleveland Browns surrender a first-round pick, will they win it? Yes, they will, likely, unless they get outbid by somebody else with a higher pecking order. All the nuts and bolts, what you need to know, the debate raging on over Brendan Sorsby's value and what has become an amplified offseason at this stage around that specific topic. Everything you need to know about Brendan Sorsby's value, supplemental drafts, who could come calling, and more coming up next on this Tuesday edition of Overtime.
Freeze. The best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Tuesday, June 16th edition of Overtime. We are well into the summer, but there is still plenty of time to win. Ready, set, climb. You can play Quick Stars Mountain Dew Quick Climb and score cash this summer now through August 16th. Still plenty of time to play. You can play free every day inside the Quick Rewards app featuring daily cash prizes climbing to a $250,000 payday at the top. Buy select Pepsi-Cola beverages to earn bonus plays. Your summer, your climb, your win. That is the Quick Star Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Only at Quick Star. Full rules. Quickstar.com/sweepstakes. Let's dive right into the sweepstakes for Brendan Sorsby, the NFL supplemental draft star to be. And certainly the drama has shifted. We're not talking about the ruling. We're not talking about eligibility, the pay for play, the $5 million deal for Sorsby to play at Texas Tech, only to be moderately, partially rescinded. We don't know those details, but Sorsby is moving on to the National Football League, and that is where we start our dedicated NFL segment of the day right now on the show. Brendan Sorsby to the National Football League. Now, Texas Tech quarterback does plan to apply for the supplemental draft, a stunning reversal in the saga over his eligibility after he recently admitted to betting on college sports, subsequently went to rehab, got the help he needed, and in all intents and purposes appears to be a reformed person. Sorsby's decision to leave Texas Tech and pursue the NFL marks an about-face as he had been granted a temporary injunction by a Texas judge on June 8th that appeared to clear a path for him to play for the Red Raiders this fall. Sorsby had been ruled ineligible by the NCAA after they discovered that he had placed more than 9,000 bets totaling at least $90,000 on pro and college sports over 4 years while enrolled at Indiana, Cincinnati, and Texas Tech, including at least 40 wagers involving Indiana football. That is all very well noted. Now, Sorsby and his attorneys, his family, Texas Tech community, putting this all behind him. We'll dive in later on. We got plenty of time to talk about what's ahead for Texas Tech football at the quarterback position and on the football field this fall. But Brendan Sorsby essentially moving on, putting the drama behind him and shifting the drama from the NCAA, college football, and the outcry, the refusal to play, the lawsuits aplenty are hopefully all going away. And then it moves up to the NFL, where we have a mixed bag of responses, reviews, what-ifs, how much questions coming out right now in regards to a supplemental draft. So we'll do our best right now to make ones and twos of what the heck is a supplemental draft, notable players that have been picked, and what it all means for Brendan Sorsby right now. First question answered by David Perdue, sports betting reporter at ESPN.com. How has the NFL approached NCAA players with gambling violations in the past? Now, you'll remember the name. He's from our neck of the woods. Started Iowa State for a bit. Quarterback Hunter Deckers and wide receiver Kayshon Booty were found to have committed gambling violations while playing college football, and both were still allowed to pursue NFL careers. Deckers was the projected starting quarterback at Iowa State, but was ruled ineligible ahead of 2023 after an investigation found he had bet on at least one game involving his team, among other wagers that violated NCAA bylaws. That bet was $15 on Iowa State to beat Oklahoma State, not $90,000 over thousands of bets. That's a different story. Booty was arrested in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, January of 2024 on charges of underage betting while at Louisiana State University. That arrest came roughly 8 months after he had been drafted in round six by New England, and the charges were ultimately dropped against Booty. According to police, Booty placed more than 8,900 wagers from April 2022 to May 2023, including betting on at least 17 college football games. The NFL, because this was retroactive, did not discipline Kayshawn Booty. Booty's in the league, had a nice year last year. Deckers, still working on a pro career, was with the Saints around this time last season. So where do you go with Brendan Sorsby? The dude is talented, no doubt about it. You could be a big hater right now and be the biggest person in opposition to him getting an NFL opportunity while also recognizing he's a pretty darn good football player. He was the biggest fish in the transfer portal at the quarterback position, and Texas Tech ponied up and paid him, of course, without knowing about the past gambling issue. So where do we go from here? We're going to dive into how the heck does a supplemental draft work first here. We're going to do our best to zoom through this. Dan Graziano with a great explanation here. The NFL holds a weighted lottery to determine the order of the supplemental draft. For example, the Raiders, who had the first pick in April, would get 32 hypothetical ping pong balls, while the Seahawks, who had pick number 32, would get just one. They actually break it down into three separate lotteries. One is to determine the order among all the teams that won six or fewer games last year. A second lottery to determine the order among teams that won more than six but didn't make the playoffs. And a third to determine the order among playoff teams. Once that order is established, teams will submit blind bids. And to answer the question that I had last segment, you will not know if the Green Bay Packers bid, the Buccaneers bid, the Giants bid, the Eagles bid, any team outside of the winner, you're not going to get that info. Unless it's somehow leaked to the public, you're not going to know anybody outside of the Browns, Cardinals, Dolphins, Falcons, teams that might come calling. Whoever wins the bidding process for Brendan Sorsby will get that value, but it's one of those blind bidding, silent auction style where you're not going to know if your team bid and what they bid for the services of Brendan Sorsby. So the team that is awarded the player ultimately forfeits that same pick. You can bid first rounder, second rounder, third rounder, fourth rounder, all the way out, but it's worth noting teams cannot bid picks that they did not originally own. So the Packers right now have a first round pick that is held by the Dallas Cowboys. They cannot bid a first round pick, obviously, in next year's draft. And from the Cowboys' perspective, they cannot bid the Packers' first round pick. They can bid their own, but not the Green Bay Packers' first round pick. So if the Steelers bid a third round pick on Sorsby and get him, they give up their third round pick in next year's NFL draft. So it's a boost and a bonus while also giving up future value, because the boost and the bonus comes in the way of the player being immediately eligible, ready to go for training camp, on the roster, rookie contract, full year in the NFL before the calendar turns around and you have to pay via draft capital for their services. So there's a lot of inherent value here from an NFL team's perspective to drafting Brendan Sorsby. The question that I have and many have is, how is the NFL handling this from the good old boys ownership group? What is the messaging like that? Because we're not naive enough to pretend to not realize that that's a thing. Roger Goodell is talking with Jerry Jones and talking with other owners and saying, you know, I'm not so sure about this. I don't think we should have him in our league. I don't know about the value here. I hope nobody starts him right away. Hopefully we can get him in a good program here and be a torch carrier for our anti-gambling narrative here in the National Football League, which is very, very, very important. I don't mean to call it a narrative as much as it's a mission to not have the competitive integrity questioned of your sport. That's admirable for Roger Goodell. Certainly, we'll see about that layer of if there's any sort of universal okay, you can bid on Sorsby. Nobody bid anything over a third round pick here. We'll see about that. But there is a laundry list, a big, long CVS receipt length list of teams that should be interested. I came up with, I believe this is 14 teams that I would say are most likely to bid. This is not a guarantee. This is just off the top of my head, looking at the NFL placard up on the wall here with all the teams. Cleveland is an obvious team that could absolutely bid on the services of Brendan Sorsby. The New York Jets don't have a long-term quarterback. The Atlanta Falcons currently don't have a long-term quarterback. The Indianapolis Colts have a quarterback signed long-term, but how great do they feel about the quarterback position? The Miami Dolphins just extended the offer, got the deal done with Malik Willis. He is their short-term quarterback. They hope he's long-term, but Brendan Sorsby has some value to them. The Pittsburgh Steelers, obviously. The Detroit Lions. Jared Goff is getting older. What is their plan behind him? That's a good question. The Minnesota Vikings are absolutely on this list as well. They have one of the more muddy quarterback situations, not just in figuring out who's going to be the starter this offseason, but what kind of confidence do you have that if J.J. McCarthy wins the job, he's the dude for 3 to 5 years? If Kyler Murray wins the job, he's the dude for 3 to 5 years. I don't have a lot of confidence in that because of the short-term nature of both of their careers right now. Kyler Murray's on a one-year deal. J.J. McCarthy's just got a couple years left on his rookie deal if he wins the job. Minnesota could be interested in Brendan Sorsby. The Dallas Cowboys have an aging Dak Prescott in question marks behind him. Arizona Cardinals, New Orleans Saints, Tyler Shuck, good player. Notice I didn't say good young player. Tyler Shuck is already 26 years old in his second year in the NFL. So maybe the Saints come calling. Other teams on the list, Eagles love a bargain. Tampa Bay, contract dispute, standoff with Baker Mayfield. He's getting older. And then, of course, the Carolina Panthers. You feel like they like Bryce Young quite a bit. He showed some progression throughout his career. He's not a star, not even a middling quarterback just yet for Bryce Young. He's still in the 20s. If you rank him up 1 through 32. So Carolina could also be interested in the services of Brendan Sorsby. Other questions that are answered, big, long article at ESPN.com. Jordan Reed noting that Sorsby had 2,800 passing yards, 27 touchdowns against just 5 picks last year, and that was an 11th ranked QBR last season for Sorsby. He's dynamic. He is mobile, different arm angles. This kid can play. But the big question, the big warning label on Sorsby is, how does this all fit in? Character concerns, gambling concerns. You get him in the right situation, this could make a ton of sense. That's why I threw in teams like Detroit. And I wanted to throw in teams like Green Bay, like San Francisco, organizational stability, and a place where they don't have to play right away. Brendan Sorsby could make a lot of sense in the right scenario. If you arrive in camp and say, okay, you're signing up for this particular meeting group in the NFL, you're signing up for this support service. We're going to put a great system around you, give you an opportunity to flourish. And the other thing we're underselling here, too, is it's not all about where could Brendan Sorsby fit? Where could Brendan Sorsby start? It's also a lot of value here in terms of we got Sorsby on his feet. We got our quarterback. We got Jordan Love. We got Matthew Stafford. We got Ty Simpson. We also have Sorsby. He's playing pretty well. Did you see him in the preseason? How about you send us a mid-round pick for him? How about you give us some return on investment here? This is not just about Sorsby starting in the NFL as much as it's about Sorsby proving himself in the NFL and teams working around his value ahead of time. Big, long article, more on the supplemental draft, ESPN.com. We will be talking about that a ton in the weeks ahead. No date yet set, no order yet set, and the bids, of course, not yet able to be made, but there's a lot of teams that should be interested in Brendan Sorsby. And if I had to say right now, hand in the air, best guess on the value, not the landing spot, but the value of Brendan Sorsby, there's been people out there saying a first rounder, a second rounder, a third rounder. I'm going to go a fourth round pick for Brendan Sorsby. That feels low, but the amount of concern, the amount of baggage here for Brendan Sorsby is pretty darn heavy. So I'm going to go fourth round pick. I could be absolutely positively nuts off my rocker and wrong here, but fourth round pick for Sorsby. We'll see other notable supplemental draft picks in the NFL's history recently. You had Josh Gordon, a guy who had a very troubled NFL career, but Josh Gordon, phenomenal player when he was on the football field. He was a supplemental draft pick. Terrell Pryor, the Ohio State quarterback, then wide receiver in the NFL. He was a supplemental pick. Also, guest on this show relatively often, Mike Wall, former Packer offensive lineman. He was a supplemental draft pick. And of course, Chris Carter of the Minnesota Vikings, a supplemental draft pick of the Philadelphia Eagles, as he earned his start in the National Football League. Other news to get to, Calvin Johnson does not expect his single-season NFL receiving yardage record to last much longer. And if he had to guess, he's saying that Puka Nacua will be the one to break the record. He's still got Matthew Stafford, so I think he's got a shot. Johnson, the former Lions star, told the Detroit Free Press at his fourth annual celebrity golf outing yesterday, if he stays healthy, that dude is a killer out there. Johnson said he'd be happy to see it happen, given he and Stafford were once teammates in Detroit. That would be kind of dope, Johnson told the Free Press. I'd have to go to that game if he did that, because I like Puka. He's getting some crap out of his system. He's just a young guy, just learning, but I think he's an awesome, dynamic young receiver. Calvin Johnson, of course, did that in 16 games. Puka and everybody in the NFL with a bonus game, with that record still standing after over a decade. Atlanta Falcons edge rusher James Pierce Jr. is back with the team and is expected to take part in this week's mini camp. According to Schefter yesterday, Pierce has been absent from the Falcons facility since his arrest in February on charges that included aggravated battery with a deadly weapon after he allegedly rammed his vehicle into a car driven by his ex-girlfriend, WNBA player Ricky Jackson. More details, ESPN.com. Another player to report, George Pickens, reporting taking his physical yesterday at the Star. That is the Dallas Cowboys facility, according to a source. Cowboys coach Brian Schottenheimer had said all along he expected the wide receiver to be at mandatory camp, but there was no assurance that he'd be there. Had Pickens skipped the camp, he would have faced fines totaling more than $90,000 that he could not have rescinded by the club. Pickens signed his franchise tag in late March. He'll be paid $27.3 million on a one-year franchise tag deal this season. And lastly, the tough news over the weekend was the passing of Aldon Smith. And now the family of the former NFL star has decided to send his brain to medical experts in Boston to see whether chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, played a role in the former NFL defensive lineman's passing. Smith passed on Saturday at the age of just 36 years old, hours after he had just delivered pizzas to a homeless charity. No cause of death had been given at this point. Smith's family has hired attorneys to help investigate his passing. We will keep you posted on future details. ESPN.com with that story as of this morning. Well, I hope you feel a little bit more informed about the supplemental draft. There's a lot of details still to hammer out, but the fact of the matter is it's just like the regular NFL draft. The worse you are, the better your odds of winning an even bid. So if the Carolina Panthers, they're a playoff team, that's not a great example. How about the Cleveland Browns? They're not good. If the Cleveland Browns bid a third round pick and the LA Rams bid a third round pick, the Browns will get the player. Playoff teams don't have great chances here, but if they have the best bid, they win the player. And the services of Brendan Sorsby, going to be a fun offseason ahead, talking about the supplemental NFL draft, the most meaningful supplemental draft since a while. Probably Terrell Pryor, probably before that. We'll dive in deep as we make our way closer to the supplemental draft. More details in the days to come. When we come back, wrap up the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly right after this on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Streaming live online and with the app, this is Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Back to wrap up the Tuesday, June 16th edition of Overtime. The Minnesota Vikings are in the news. Front page story, ESPN.com. We get to that and more right now as we say so long to the Tuesday edition with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Who's been the
problem child today, displayed their ugly side, whined a bit too much, and is now setting a bad example? Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right, well, today, to be frank with you, it is the good, and the good. I don't got bad news or ugly news to share today. We start at the Williams sisters in the sport of tennis. Even at a combined age of 90, opponents should still be wary of facing the Williams sisters at Wimbledon. Serena and Venus won a combined 21 titles on the storied grass of the All England Club in their singles and doubles careers. And now they're going for one more. A doubles wild card invite for the sisters was announced on Tuesday by organizers of the tournament, which starts in less than 2 weeks. The move comes after the 44-year-old Serena recently returned to competition after nearly 4 years away from pro tennis. Venus, who has still been competing sporadically, turns 46 on Wednesday. The Williams sisters have won 14 Grand Slam titles together in doubles, including six at Wimbledon, maybe getting number seven in the weeks ahead. Other good news, five-time major champion Brooks Koepka does plan to play in this week's U.S. Open after pulling out of last week's RBC Canadian Open because of a hand injury. In a text message to Golf Week last night, Koepka said he hoped to get some work done Tuesday at Shinnecock Hills. Depending upon how he feels, he is scheduled to talk to the media on Tuesday afternoon. He did write in response to Golf Week, "I am going to go this week." Good to go this week for the U.S. Open. Other good news, the Pac-12 has some additional stability. The commissioner, Teresa Gould, has received a five-year contract extension that now runs through 2031. Conference announced the deal just today. Gould's previous deal, which was a two-year agreement that began in 2024, was set to expire at the end of the month. She's going to stick around a five-year extension for one of the new formed leaders of the new look Pac-12. Other good news to get to, all good news the rest of the way. The Minnesota Vikings in the news as of moments ago. They are hiring an NFC North rival to their staff. A former NFC North foe as the new general manager, Nolan Teasley, continues to reshape the team's front office. Former Bears GM Ryan Pace joined the team this week as a football advisor. According to a source, Pace led the Bears from 2015 to 2021 before spending the past four seasons in the Atlanta Falcons personnel department, and he'll provide a GM-level sounding board for Teasley, who the Vikings hired away as a first-time GM from the Seahawks earlier on this month. In addition to Pace, the Vikings also added Azam Kapadia as assistant director of pro scouting. He spent the past 3 years with Seattle and worked as a pro scout in 2025. And lastly, the final good news to get to, Rashee Rice released from jail as of this morning after serving a 30-day sentence for violating the terms of his probation, which stemmed from his role in a car crash that left multiple people injured on a Texas highway. The 26-year-old had been booked into the jail on May 19th after testing positive for THC. Upon his release, Rice made a quick dash past a handful of reporters into a waiting SUV, which whisked him away from the facility. Rice had surgery about a week before he was sentenced to clean up debris in his right knee, which had been causing inflammation. Judge approved a request from his lawyers to allow him to receive treatment at Parkland Hospital while serving his sentence. 30 days up, Rashee Rice out of jail. The news of the day. That is the good, the bad, and the ugly. That is our show on a Tuesday. Tomorrow on the program, we're previewing the U.S. Open with Cat Clark of Sioux Falls Golf. We're talking about the Minnesota Twins and Byron Buxton, and a positive outlook, I'm sure, with our friend the Twins geek, John Bonus. All of that in hour number one tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Overtime. We will say so long. With that, hope you can join us tomorrow when the next edition of Overtime rolls around right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.